From Greenville, South Carolina, we present Let the Bible Speak. Let the Bible Speak is the radio ministry of the Free Presbyterian Church of North America, preaching Christ in all His fullness. Welcome you to this broadcast of Let the Bible Speak. Today we continue a series of studies in the book of Romans, messages preached by Dr. Alan Cairns, founder of Let the Bible Speak Radio Ministries. We'll hear from Dr. Cairns in just a few minutes. First of all, we invite you to enjoy this devotional thought from the pen of C.H. Spurgeon, as found in his collection called Morning and Evening.
This morning's text comes from the Epistle to the Hebrews, chapter 13 and verse 5. He hath said, if we can only grasp these words by faith, we have an all-conquering weapon in our hand. What doubt will not be slain by this two-edged sword? What fear is there which shall not fall, smitten with a deadly wound, before this arrow from the bow of God's covenant? Will not the distresses of life and the pangs of death, will not the corruptions within and the snares without, will not the trials from above and the temptations from beneath, all seem but light afflictions, when we can hide ourselves beneath the bulwark of He hath said? Yes, whether for delight in our quietude or for strength in our conflict, He hath said must be our daily resort. And this may teach us the extreme value of searching the Scriptures. There may be a promise in the Word which would exactly fit your case, but you may not know of it, and therefore you miss its comfort. You are like the prisoners in the dungeon, and there may be one key in the bunch which would unlock the door, and you might be free. But if you will not look for it, you may remain a prisoner still, though liberty is so near at hand. There may be a potent medicine in the great pharmacopoeia of Scripture, and you may yet continue sick unless you will examine and search the Scriptures to discover what He hath said. Should you not, besides reading the Bible, store your memories richly with the great promises of God? You can recollect the sayings of great men. You can treasure up the verses of renowned poets. Ought you not to be profound in your knowledge of the words of God, so that you may be able to quote them readily when you would solve a difficulty or overthrow a doubt? Since He hath said is the source of all wisdom and the fountain of all comfort, let it dwell in you richly, as a well of water springing up unto everlasting life. So shall you grow healthy, strong, and happy in the divine life.
Finish the race. ask for courage to face our struggles each day. Fears of the past shall not last if we faithful stay.
Let your passion consume us as to the truth we hold.
With our calling so sure, victory secure, steadfast we press to the goal. Keep the race before us.
Keep our hearts turned toward the prize.
With patience and endurance, the cross standing firm in our eyes. Keep the race before us.
And reward us, Lord, by your grace.
With crowns of righteousness from the righteous judge, when we finish the race. The heroes of righteousness, over hearts turned toward the prize, with patience and endurance. The cross standing firm in our eyes. I am the race with our hearts. I take reward us, Lord, by your grace. With crowns of righteousness from the righteous judge. When we have finished the race.
Pastor A.W. Tozer was one of the spiritual giants of the 20th century. A self-made scholar with an insatiable hunger for the deep things of God, he was known to often burn the midnight oil in his study, seeking a more profound experience of his Lord and Savior. His book, The Pursuit of God, is the result of long meditation and much prayer. It is not a collection of sermons. It does not deal with the pulpit and the pew, but with the soul athirst for God. Some of the chapter titles include Apprehending God, The Gaze of the Soul, and Meekness and Rest. Let the Bible Speak is pleased to offer complete reprints of this timeless devotional help free of charge. For your copy of The Pursuit of God, simply email info@faithfpc.org. That's info@faithfpc.org. If you wish, you may call us at 864-244-2408. That's 864-244-2408. If you prefer regular mail, simply write Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. That's Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. Just ask for your free copy of The Pursuit of God. As he proceeds with his exposition of the Epistle to the Romans, Dr. Cairns brings the next portion of a message entitled The Cry of the Captive, dealing with verses 14 through 25 of chapter 7. In this message, he explains Paul's teaching that as no one can be saved through attempts by keeping God's law, neither can anyone be sanctified by the law. The inner conflict described by Paul of his own experience has led some Bible teachers to conclude that this represents the normal Christian life, a position Dr. Cairns has emphatically rejected. Certainly many, if not most, genuine believers go through such times of spiritual conflict during which they may despair of deliverance. What is the problem? Paul states that it is the body of sin, that is, the flesh. Although the believer's soul has been redeemed, the body still seeks to embrace sin. Here is the Christian's real warfare. Now Dr. Cairns continues this message called The Cry of the Captive.
Oh, the law exposes sin. The law condemns sin. The law arouses sin. Why? Because, says Paul, I am fleshly. That's the meaning of the word carnal. I am fleshly, sold under sin. Now remember, this is descriptive particularly of whether it's Paul or you or me, as we're confronting sin with the power of the law. I'm looking at this law. It says, thou shalt not covet, but I'm fleshly. Thou shalt not lust, but I'm fleshly. Thou shalt love the Lord your God with all your heart, mind, soul, and spirit, but I'm fleshly. That's my problem. Oh, I understand what the law says. Now, there's more to Paul than this. When he says, I'm fleshly, there's more to him than this. It's not the entire person. It's not the entire experience. But still, he was in the flesh. These words are written by a man who was a real man, who knew all the struggles and the temptations and the weaknesses common to men. And in the flesh, he had that part of him that was susceptible to the allurement and to the domination of sin. You remember in dealing with Romans 6, I defined flesh as the corruption of sin that tyrannizes the body and makes the body its instrument. Essentially, it's the same as verse 23, that other law in my members that wars against the law of the mind. Now, this flesh is sold under sin. It's the total slave of sin, as verse 18 would make clear. What's he saying here? He's saying this flesh, it's not exactly synonymous with the members of the body, but this flesh, this force, this principle of evil, this corruption within us, uses the body as its vehicle, as its weapon of sin. How can that be? Are we not redeemed? Yes, we are redeemed. But remember, and this is a verse we should never forget, Romans chapter 8, verse 23. Read the passage before it and you'll see God's people groan in the flesh. Why? Because there's one part of you has not yet entered into the benefits of redemption purchased by Christ. There's one part of you that will not enter into the benefits of the redemption purchased by Christ until the resurrection. And that's your body. It's your body. 1 Corinthians 9:27, Paul talks about keeping the body under. That needs to be done. The body still is subject to disease. The body is still subject to desire that's evil. The body is still subject to death. The redemption of the body awaits the coming again of the Lord Jesus Christ. And there's nothing that the law can do, however pure and holy it is, to break this bondage of sin. Second thing, verses 15 through 20, that the conviction of the law is not enough to make it able to sanctify us. The whole force of these verses 15 through 20, notice again what he says, that which I do, I allow not or I approve not. What I would, that is what I desire, that I do not, but what I hate, that I do. You'll see there's a struggle going on here. Here's a man and he's faced with the law of God and is telling him what to do. And what happens? The law instructs. The law commands. The law convicts. And as a regenerate man, and this is the mark of a regenerate man, I totally concur with the standards and statements of the law of God. I have no argument with the law of God. You see, that's the mark of a genuine Christian. The Christian comes to God's word, God's law, and it says, I agree with it all 100%. Absolutely. I have absolutely nothing but agreement with the law of God. I do not approve of sin. I don't approve of my sin. I hate my sin, and I consent to the law of God. But while the law is the basis of my efforts to be holy, I will always do the very thing that I disapprove of and that I hate. Now again, don't we know what this feels like? Have you never sat there? You've been in a service, for example, where you've been instructed. You've been instructed. You've seen something. This is my duty. This is what I ought to do. It might have to do with Bible reading. It might have to do with praying. It might have to do with witnessing. It might have to do with giving. It might have to do with a whole lot of things. But you've been in a service where you've been instructed as to your duty, what you ought to do. You've been convicted because you haven't done it. And when you've been convicted, you begin to shrivel up with a feeling of guilt and shame. And then the preacher's asked you, are you willing to resolve and make the decision? You see, it's always the decision. This is what's come to curse our churches. We have got to have a decision. As if that decision's going to change everything. Now you're feeling so guilty. Are you resolved that you're going to change all this? Yes, sir, I'm resolved. And you're sincere and you're honest. And you intend to do it? Haven't we all sat in that very meeting and you put your hand up or you lift your heart to God and you cry, Lord, I'm resolved to do it. What happens the next day or the next week or the next month? Don't we all know to our shame what happens? You're not one hair's breadth the better. Why? Listen. The law convicts, but conviction is not enough to change us. The law can't change us. So then, Paul says in verse 17, I'm consenting to the law that it's good. I know what I ought to do. I know what I want to do. Yet I don't do it. So then, it is no more I that do it, but sin that dwelleth in me. And so important is this that he repeats it again in verse 20. It's no more I that do it, but sin that dwells in me. Now that's a profound statement of biblical psychology. I want you to notice this, and it's not an excuse for sin. Paul is not saying, oh well, you know, I desire to be holy in the inside and it doesn't really matter what I do with my hands, what I look with my eyes, what I listen to with my ears, where I walk with my feet. It doesn't really matter because it's not I, it's sin that dwelleth in me. Let's blame the devil or let's blame sin and I am excused. Now that's not Paul's thinking. It's not an excuse for sin. What this is revealing is a deep insight into the inner conflict of people who have been justified. They know that the old man was crucified with Christ, thus delivering them from being in Adam and bringing them into Christ. But their mortal body has not yet received the benefits of redemption, and it's still susceptible to the lure and the lust and the power of sin. It's no longer I, with my heart and soul. Is there a Christian here? Is it possible that there's a Christian anywhere who does not say, with my heart and my soul, I yearn to be holy. I consent to the law. I love the law. I love to be holy. I love to get through to God in prayer. I love to live in a way that pleases God. Is it possible to be a Christian and not love to do that? If you don't love holiness, you're not saved. Understand that. The Bible knows nothing of this kind of Christianity that is filling our pews with church members who are candidates for destruction. The Bible knows nothing of a Christianity that has all profession, but it has no love for God, no love for Christ, no love for the law of God, no love for holiness. That's not Christianity. Is there not a Christian here and you're saying, Lord, I love to be holy, but sin dwelleth in me? One thing is very clear here. A Christian can never, with his whole heart and soul, enter into what he knows the law of God condemns. And if he does what the law of God condemns, he despises himself for doing it. He hates what he's doing. And he recognizes that the law is pure and holy and just and good. Other people can, with a whole heart, breach the law of God. They do it, but not a Christian. It's not I, says he. The real I love to be holy. I love communion with God. I love the fellowship of Christ. I love the honor of His name and of His house. But sin dwells in me. This sin dwelling in me is the equivalent of the flesh, or the law in my members, verses 18 and 23. It's this principle of corruption. And I want you to notice it dwells in us. Contrary to what the perfectionists say, it is not rooted out. This principle of corruption is the source of all the evil that we do. The awful thing is there's nothing in us to overcome it. You see, now let me get back to the scenario I was preaching to you or describing to you a little ago, where you are feeling ashamed of yourself, you're under guilt, you feel that the rising up of evil thoughts or desires, and others may not know what's going on, but you're struggling. And the law says, do not covet, do not lust, do not steal, do not look, do not this, do not the other thing. And your whole heart is saying, Lord, it's true, it's true, it's true. But yet, despite the truth of it, I'm still doing it. See what you're proving? There's nothing, nothing, underline it, nothing in you to overcome that sin. In my flesh dwelleth no good thing. Now that seems to contradict what John says, does it not? In 1 John chapter 4, he says, greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world. In chapter 5, verse 4, in 1 John, he says, whosoever or whatsoever is born of God overcometh the world. This is the victory that overcometh the world, even our faith. But there's no contradiction. You see, Paul in Romans 7 here is not speaking of Christians enjoying the ministry of the Holy Ghost. It has often been pointed out there's no mention of the Holy Ghost in these latter verses in Romans 7. Paul is deliberately leaving that out, up to this point anyway. What he's describing, you see, is somebody who's saved, but yet who's living inconsistently. I believe to be saved. I'm justified by faith, but yet I'm trying to be sanctified by law. That's inconsistent. And as long as we're trying to do that, we're not living by the faith of the gospel. And therefore, Paul says, verse 18, I know that in me that is in my flesh dwells no good thing. Now listen, and again, have you not felt this? To will is present with me. Now this verb, is present, means literally to lie beside me. And it's used twice in this chapter. It's used in verse 18 of what's good. It's used in verse 21 of what's evil. Here's something lying beside us. He said, now, I don't need to go to the ends of the earth to find out what's good. I'm a Christian. I know what's good. And I'm going to make this statement to you. In the vast majority of things, there may be things that are very convoluted. Remember Mr. Pinkston doing a series of lectures at my request on bioethics and the things that will come up in this highly technological age that will face us with decisions that are very difficult to come to. And there may be things like that that require a lot of searching of the Scripture. But for the most part, you have no difficulty when you're facing the issues of life in knowing what is good and what is evil. No difficulty whatsoever. To will is lying right beside me. That's what he's saying. To will, to do good, that's right with me. To choose the good, that's easy. That's easy. Every time you've responded to an appeal to pray more, give more, read more, witness more, give yourself to the service of the Lord, what have you done? You've been choosing. And I'm not for a moment questioning the sincerity of the choice. To will, to choose, to resolve. These things are right beside us. But doing, there's the rub. Doing is a different matter entirely.
You've been listening to Let the Bible Speak, the radio ministry of the Free Presbyterian Church of North America. We hope you've enjoyed and benefited from today's program. We're here as your servants for Christ's sake. If we can be of any further help to you in the things of the Lord, we invite you to contact us. If you would like to receive our booklet, Separated Unto the Gospel, a booklet that sets forth the beliefs and standards of the Free Presbyterian Church, you may have a copy free of charge, simply for the asking. Our mailing address is Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. That's Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. Our email address is info@faithfpc.org. That's info@faithfpc.org. If you would like to learn more about the Free Presbyterian Church of North America, we invite you to visit our website, www.fpcna.org. That's www.fpcna.org. This is Charles Kelch saying thank you for listening and inviting you to join us again as we let the Bible speak.